Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to the man's voice, and to others on the West Coast, it's just early afternoon, so welcome. And we are glad you are with us. We have so much to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about a little bit is what happened for the 4th of July to a lot of people, because I did not see a lot of men out barbecuing and things like, you know, we used to. And I didn't see a lot of that going on. And I don't know if times have changed. COVID changed things, you know. So, Bruce, did you notice did you notice 4th of July being like, you know, in the past, a lot of people barbecuing and get-togethers, things like that?
I did notice that Halloween's in the future. You're right. That's coming up. But but as far as the 4th, it seemed subdued. We still had a lot of celebrations with fireworks and American flags, which was very nice to see. But for years, not just now, I think I've mentioned this to you, and you tell me if you have these stores down there. The one store, chain store, that consistently flies the American flag, big, obvious, and beautiful, is, of all people, Bell Tire Company. And up here they have huge flagpoles and American flags. I'll stop and compliment them. And the thing that is so sad, but not just recent, I would say within the last 10 years it's been de-escalating. We have flagpoles everywhere, all over the place, that used to carry flags, and they're all empty now. So my point in all that is I think people are celebrating in different ways indoors. I think barbecues are still popular, but they become get-togethers, not necessarily on the holidays anymore. So I'd end with this, David, that I would say it feels even up here in the Midwest, or in the Deep South, I guess, those two places, it seems somewhat subdued to me.
Yes. Okay. Don, what are your thoughts on the celebration of 4th of July? Times have changed. Things are just not like they used to be.
Hello, David. Hello, rest of the team. You are absolutely right, David. And I noticed the same thing that Bruce mentioned. But, David, to be truthful with you, this year has been totally different for me. Being a northern boy and raised and brought up in the north, I never heard of a thing called Juneteenth until I moved to South Florida. And since Biden made it a national holiday, I realized that Juneteenth is a celebration for people, as a freedom for people. And it happened in June, and we celebrated. 4th of July was a celebration for a country, America, and we celebrated the 4th of July. So I celebrated Juneteenth, and we enjoyed that. And then the next month, I celebrated the 4th of July. To be truthful with you, David, I was just tired of the barbecue. And so on the 4th of July, my wife and I had Taco Tuesday since the 4th of July was on a Tuesday. And we celebrate both of them differently. And it was a great opportunity to celebrate as a people freedom and also as a country freedom. And that was totally new for me this year, David.
Right. Interesting. Ron, what are your thoughts on the 4th of July, time to change, and the way things are these days?
Thank you, David. Well, you know, it's interesting, Don, you know, we're both here in South Florida, and I have a totally different perspective. I saw tons of people out. I went to South Beach. I went to Key Biscayne. Bill Bag State Park had to shut down because there were so many people that they ran out of space, so they had to turn people away. South Beach was packed. Downtown was packed. My neighborhood, you know, there were parties everywhere, fireworks, you know, going off at all hours of the night. So I didn't really see any downturn in the celebrations. In fact, if anything, I thought it was more than in previous years. And even, you know, if you look at the news and the number of people traveling, it was record numbers of people traveling by road, by air. You know, of course, we all know the fiasco of what happened with the air travel, and I have a personal account of that. But, you know, it was, to me, it was more celebratory than in the past, I think, at least from what I saw in the areas that I went to.
All right. Wow. All right. Let's move on. I want to move on. We have a new caller on the line who's going to be part of our team tonight. His name is Tony, and he is in Houston, Texas. I would like to say welcome, Tony. We'll get to you in a little while and ask other questions. But I want to throw out on the table, is there anything that you would like to talk about, Bruce?
Well, there's a lot I'd like to talk about, but it just seems to be building with so much of the protection of power in the current administration that they'll seems to feel, again, you know, I check all the sources, not just conservative sources on the news, that they'll say and do anything to protect whoever they want to protect at the moment they want to protect them. You know, this thing about the cocaine in the White House, and as they say, it's not so much the substance as it is the covering up of it. It changed places three locations. And what if it, like they said, what if it was some severe chemical, not cocaine at all, that is that close to the president, the first lady, everything else? That's scary. So you don't know if that's ineptitude from the standpoint of how it should have been covered or if it was done on purpose. And you just don't know. And these situations, using that as the most recent example, seem to be happening over and over and over again. It's just two or three a week now. And you just wonder, and the secretary up at the podium, she says, basically the press now that's starting to ask questions that they never used to ask, the conservative press are saying, she says, how dare you ask that question? They weren't here. Well, first of all, she said they weren't there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I think Monday. Well, they were there Friday till Friday night, so that's wrong. Was she that misinformed, or was she covering it up? And it's just this constant mishmash of nobody, you know, getting fed up with the fact that how do we get the truth out of anybody anymore? And the Republicans aren't guiltless either. They have their own trials and tribulations too, but he's the one in the White House. He's the one running the show. He's the one where the things stop at his desk. So that's really starting to bug me because it's going on and on and on and on and on.
All right. Ron, do you have anything you would like to bring to the table or any comments on Bruce's?
Well, excuse me, I don't know details. All I know is that it happened. I haven't been attuned to the news lately. But all I can say is it's, you know, it's the same bullshit, excuse my expression, that goes on with any politician anywhere at any time. It's just, you know, who is to blame at the moment, and you know, if people don't like it, then go vote and vote differently.
All right. Don, what are your thoughts or do you want to bring to the table?
Well, David, I was just kind of reflecting today, and I'm in a real peace mood. A peace spirit has become my mantra now. And I was just listening on how Ukraine is asking for the opportunity to be a part of NATO. Now, we've given them billions of dollars already, and they want to be a part of NATO. Follow me on this when I say this, gentlemen. We in America and the United States seem to be fixated on war. War seems to be the motivating factor of this economy in this country. We went to Vietnam and we spent millions of dollars and lost millions of lives. Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, NATO. Man, when is it going to stop? When is it going to stop? When is it going to stop? We spend millions of dollars, trillions of dollars, and lose millions and trillions of people in war when we need to fix our own country. We got people here starving. We got people here living beneath their privilege. Man, I'm just tired of it. And now we got Ukraine asking for more money and then asking to join NATO. Man, America's got to be sensitive to peace. We can't fix everybody. I'm done. I'm peaceful today.
May I follow up with a question to you, Don?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead.
What do you think? I don't disagree with you about the fact. Let's make peace, not war. Simplistic statement, but nonetheless the goal. What do you think, besides the machinery and all of the big companies you know, working on war implements, what do you think is driving us to do more and more war instead of just saying, you know, going over there to them and say, here's how it's going to be, boys and girls over here in China and Russia and so forth. We're going to do this. You're going to do that. And there's my plane. I'm getting on it. I'll look forward to hearing from you. And walk away. Why don't we do that to kind of slam the door on what you're saying? I couldn't agree with you more. My question to you is why? Why won't they do that?
Bruce, I think I have an answer, Bruce. Oh, go ahead.
I yield to you. Go ahead, sir.
No, I agree with both of you, and I'm sick and tired of it too. You know, we've got so many problems here at home that we need to fix. Yes, we are the richest country in the world, and yes, we are the beacon of democracy in the world, so everybody looks to us for that kind of leadership, but enough is enough. I mean, our country is crumbling, literally, and yes, there's a lot of good things happening. I won't deny that, but you look at our society, and society is crumbling, and we need money invested. You know, we need programs. We need things to help people in this country. And I think the reason, okay, so everybody around the world, I've got friends all over the world, and they say the United States is always looking for war. And I don't disagree. And I think it's all because of money, the dollar sign. Because you look at the atrocities that are going on just in our own hemisphere. Look at Haiti. Look at Cuba. Look at Venezuela. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Look at South America, Central America, Nicaragua. And the U.S. does nothing about it. They don't care because there's no money
in
it.
Yes. Yes.
But
Ron,
you're so right, Ron.
Man.
Ron, you and Don, do you think it's that clear cut that it's only the war machine that makes gobs and gobs of money on it, or is it more than that?
No, it's a lot more complicated than that, but I think it's a big factor.
Oh, yes, it is.
A huge factor.
And then it's the money, too. Look at, what's his name, the vice president, Bechtel, that made all the money off of the war in Iraq. And it slips my mind. But anyway, it's money driven. These major corporations make millions and billions of dollars. And Ron mentioned countries that really are close to us that need more help, and here we are fighting a war way across the ocean. Crazy.
And there's one even closer. We're at the bottom of the list, and that's the U.S. of A. To your point earlier, there are so many millions and billions and trillions that are sent all over, and some of it is absolutely necessary. But aren't we necessary to rebuild our own country to become strong again?
And if we want to stop the influx of illegal immigrants, let's have some programs and let's do some things in Central America to help those people so they stop coming here.
Yep.
That's it.
Oh, we got that problem solved, gentlemen.
Man, you guys are right on target.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said those people. That didn't come out right, but you know what I meant.
Yes, we know.
All right, guys.
But it's sad that we're the last in line for whatever is necessary. We're becoming one of those countries that needs it just as much as some of the others.
Yeah, and it's not just the Democrats. It's all of them. Every time it's all of them. All politics.
Yes.
Everybody.
Should we let Ukraine join NATO? Is that going to happen?
Why not?
Question is, why should we? Which way?
Right. Well, what is the reason for not letting Ukraine join NATO, Don?
Well, I agree with you because we've already spent billions of dollars. It would be one way to get our money back. We can't just go invest all this money and then walk away like we did with Afghanistan. Come on.
True.
We got to learn how to get some of our money back if we invest in it.
Exactly. All right, gentlemen. I'm going to change a little bit. We're going to go somewhere else, but I want you to, because we're talking about the politics and we're talking about the future. And I was just thinking, former President Donald Trump has hit the 2024 campaign trail and is giving many voters a preview of what a second Trump presidency could look like if he's elected. He's made many campaign promises, many of which are often vague and lacking in details or specifics, including ending the war in Ukraine, building 10 new cities, and giving drug smugglers the death penalty. And if elected, Trump said in his November 22 campaign announcement that he would ask Congress to ensure that drug smugglers and human traffickers can receive the death penalty for the hideous acts. The former president also vowed to take down drug cartels by imposing naval embargoes on cartels. In education, he said, when I am president, we will put parents in charge and give them the final say. Trump said in a January campaign that he did, speaking about education, the former president said he would give funding preferences and favorable treatment to schools that allow parents to elect principals, abolish teacher tenure for K-12 teachers, use merit pay to incentivize quality teaching, and cut the number of school administrators, such as those overseeing diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. So, lastly, the former president said he would charge the Department of Justice and the Department of Education with investigating civil rights violations of race-based discrimination in schools, while also removing Marxists from the Department of Education. These are some of the things he's out on his campaign talking about. What are your thoughts on that, Bruce?
Well, the multiple list that you just went through, David, isn't nearly complete, but you raise a lot of good points. And all of those have one major thing in common, among other things, and that's dividing us, dividing our country. We've got so many things going on that divide race, that divide political beliefs, that divide geographic areas, you name it. We're a divided culture in multifaceted ways, and a number of things you just went through just add to that division, create that division, enforce that division. I think what Trump is doing, even though he's blusterous, we all know that, I think he's telling whoever's going to listen, that's not only our people, not only our current administration and his own, and countries all over the globe, that if I'm elected, we're putting a stop to a lot of these things. I don't think he necessarily means everything he's listed. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He's just trying to say, pay attention. I'm going to be a different sort of leader again. And you know, from the 4 years I was in office, I was. Now, you can decide whether you like it or not, but he's re-announcing the fact that things are going to be a lot different, and we're going to put a stop to a lot of this divisiveness and try and pull people together. Because when we did that, whoever was a part of that, including Biden, possibly, and Trump, and everybody else, it worked. And we need to get back to that.
What are your thoughts, Don?
Well, David, you know, I think that drugs are one political uniter. Every politician I've ever met is against drugs. I know I am. It almost killed me before I got delivered from them. And my life is so much better. However, drugs are going to be with us as long as we live. And there are always going to be abusers of drugs as long as we live. Our penal system and our justice system is broken. I mean, it's broken. We got people in jail right now for selling 5 pounds of marijuana. I mean, we got people doing 5-10 years for selling marijuana. And marijuana is legal in the state of Michigan, in other cities, in other states. And the majority of the people arrested for drugs are people of color. And the thing is, even during the cocaine epidemic, there were different penalties for snorting and smoking. Drugs are drugs. Cocaine is cocaine. And then opiates came on the scene. The difference in that is opiates start affecting the suburbs, white America. Oh, now that's not a real hard drug, so let's open up some treatment centers. These people need treatment. They don't need incarceration. They need treatment. So we got a serious problem with our justice system. We need to fix that first. We'll leave it like that.
All right. Sure, Bruce, go ahead.
Don, do you think, wouldn't what you just said and the direction you were going, which also leads to the insane death of Americans with fentanyl laced everything you can think of, and I don't quite understand how deadly it can be, yet it's in so many things that does and doesn't kill people. Wouldn't that be incentive enough for the current administration and anybody else that will help him go back to control the border, let people in a registered fashion so we know who, what, when, where, and how, people are coming into our country, and it's not just a wide open free-for-all. Wouldn't that be incentive enough, Don?
Yes, it
or
would.
Shouldn't it be?
And, yes, it would, Bruce. And keep in mind, fentanyl is coming from China. It's coming
yep.
from China. And the thing yep. is, the Chinese people want to commit genocide on the United States. I mean, we got a major war against an enemy that we're not even looking at called China.
We're bowing
oh, man.
To them.
And we're
bowing
to them. And we're being beat on every front, Bruce, economically, technology, the entire. Listen, I saw a video where in Chinese schools right now, they got students learning all different languages in elementary school. And they're even learning African, Swahili, because Africa is the new frontier. Man, and then they're getting a new monetary system and getting all the other countries to join them. Man, we got to wake up, man. We got to wake up. We're being
and, Don, one of our goals is teaching our kids different nouns, pronouns, and adjectives. Wow. And I'm not disrespecting the wonderful teachers that are out there. They would agree with me.
All right. Ron, what are your thoughts on what we just talked about?
Yeah, it's very interesting, David and Bruce and Don, that, you know, there used to be a time when the U.S. led in so many areas, and now we're not even at the top of the list in education. We're not at the top of the list in terms of happiness or, we have economic growth, but at what cost, you know?
Right.
And going back to Bruce, what you were saying about Trump and his promises, or David rather, I'm not going to hold my breath. I don't do it with Trump. I don't do it with Biden. I don't do it with anybody, because it's all just talk right now to get elected. And we know that everybody on the left, the right, the middle, everywhere, they make all these promises and then they don't keep them. So, you know, for example, to say that he would end the war in Ukraine in one day, that ain't going to happen. We know that. Why is he saying it? So not just picking on Trump, you know, everybody does that. So, I have a feeling it's going to be down to Biden Trump again, which is unfortunate in my opinion. But on the other hand, I don't really see anybody else out there that I would vote for. So it's kind of the worst of two evils.
I agree.
Ron, you sound frustrated, Ron.
Very frustrated, yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
I second, I third that emotion.
All right. Someone just sent me a text I was kind of reading. Anyway, I want to change up a little bit. I had someone send us a request, and the request is if the panelists, each one, could have dinner with an iconic person from the past life, who would it be and what would they talk about? So I thought I would start that out with you, Ron. If you could have dinner with anyone iconic in the past, who would it be and what would be your discussion?
Wow. There's so many people that I would love to have even just an hour with. You know, I could think of, for example, maybe who was the first American on the moon? Was it Armstrong? Yeah, right? Neil
Armstrong.
I would love to have a conversation with him about what was going on in his mind when he was, you know, so many thousands or tens of thousands or however many miles the moon is from the Earth, what was going on in his head, looking back and seeing, you know, what a small, fragile place we are. Maybe Princess Diana, you know, because she went all around the world and helped all kinds of people, no matter what race, you know, what backgrounds, where they came from. And, you know, for somebody to be in such a high position in the monarchy, but yet be so humble and care
about people that are suffering and have less than her, you know, that takes a special human being. So I would love to see what makes that mind tick like that, you know, because not everybody's that way. You know, a lot of people have power and have money and fortune and fame, but they don't do what Princess Diana did. And, you know, there's others, of course, but those are the two that come to mind.
I just needed one. All right, Bruce, Who would you like to have dinner with?
Well, if I have to make it a pecking order, the first on the top of the list would be Jesus. For so many reasons. Second would be Martin Luther King, to get perspective, to get the seeds that are grown in special people from the learnings of so many things, without going into a lot of detail. That would be my order, and forgive me for giving you two instead of one. Ron did it, so I did it.
Oh, I have a question. What would be the question? Name a question that you would ask Jesus when you sit out for dinner.
Oh, okay. And I've been cribbing with that program that's on that's wonderful called Chosen. One of the questions I would ask is, why? And why is it so powerful that you learned, that you taught all the important life lessons to the human beings of this world through just the opposite of what we think of? We think of fighting. He thinks of not fighting. We think of hitting. He thinks of turning the cheek. He thinks of kindness. We think of brutalness. Why is it that that was chosen, and what made it so powerful? I have my own opinions, but obviously I'd want to know his.
Interesting. All right. We have a new panelist on the line. His name is Tony. Tony, we'd like to say hello and welcome. And if you could tell us a little bit about you and then answer that question. If you would take somebody out of history and have dinner with them, who would it be?
Oh. Thank you. This is Tony. I'm originally from the Caribbean. I've been in this country for 50 plus years as a citizen. Who would I want to have a dinner with? Maybe the president, the current president, that is, to hear his opinion on the current states of the country. Going back to a conversation that you were having a few minutes ago related to the current state of the country, I've always wondered, and I would like to hear an opinion on this, that I want to go back to the days when America was primary in oil production. Everything that was exported and used locally had a label stating made in America. To me, if I can remember, that went away some years ago, I think in the era of Reagan times, when his administration was trying to do away with the unions. And I think that's why they removed a lot of the businesses and took them overseas to China. Now, what we are receiving is what we gave away. I think that decision is what brought us into the situation that we are in today. Today we have to depend, or we don't have to, but we are depending on China for all our needs. From A to Z, most things that we purchase today is from China. We may purchase it locally through, quote-unquote, Amazon, but when you purchase something from Amazon, most of it has a Chinese manufacturing label on it. Mm-hmm. So it's still, you know, we have lost the control of all of that. And I think we brought that on ourselves when we tried to do away with the unions and taking all the businesses, and it was done mainly for profit by removing everything over to China. and now it's coming back to haunt us. Can I get an opinion on that? Am I correct, or am I looking at it in a different direction from one of the guys? Yes.
Don,
I think.
Oh, go ahead. Wait a minute. Bruce, go ahead.
Yes. Yes.
No, well, yeah. Go ahead, Don. I'll go. Okay. I'll jump in after Don.
Okay.
Okay. I'll answer the first question. Who would I like to have dinner with? And then I'll respond briefly to the gentleman.
Okay.
First of all, I like to have dinner, David, with Nelson Mandela. And the reason why I say Nelson Mandela, here was an attorney that was arrested, spent years in prison under inhumane conditions, and then got out and became the prime minister or ruler of a country from the outhouse to the White House, if you want to put it that way. My God, can you imagine what was in his head after eating roaches and then now eating filet mignon? Oh, my God.
Don, wasn't Gandhi right along with him, the same sort of person, Gandhi?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And the mindset in a person like him or Gandhi, it would be phenomenal just to listen to them. I wouldn't say a word. I would just ask that question and just listen. But to respond to the gentleman that made the statement about China, you're absolutely right, sir, and I won't be long, but I want to say this. I happen to be very involved in Jamaica and Caribbean countries like Jamaica, the Bahamas. And what bothers me when I go to those countries is now the ports are owned by China.
China, that's correct.
Owned by China. And I mean, the roads have been rebuilt by China. The Caribbean islands are owned by China. And then they get rid of the union, and they're not hiring Caribbean people. They're hiring Chinese people. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Very well said. Yeah.
You want me to jump in now?
Yes, Bruce.
Tony, I lived in the Caribbean most of the time, not 365 days a year, but most of the time for 6 years, and got to know the St. Croix, St. Martin, and St. John's people, granted American Caribbean, but got to know them, even the locals, a lot, learned a lot from them. And they were kind people as long as you kept within certain rules and regulations, and you probably know what I'm talking about. But I think one of the biggest factors that we didn't think far enough in advance, along to what you and what Don reinforced, is we became obsessed with getting product cheaper and cheaper, and we don't want to do the messy stuff over here. Let's let someone else do it. And on top of that, we'll get the product for less money, so it's a win-win-win-win-win. When in reality, Tony, it was not that at all. We were lulled into the fact that because I've always said, I don't know if you'd agree with this, if our choices in America right now were you got 7 products, all of the same, are made in USA, one's in China, maybe one or two from China, there's a good chance that someone's going to pick a USA product, and that's going to be it. It's a matter of choices. And the power of the price of things really got us off on the wrong foot when we started down that road.
Yes, that's true. Well, let me identify. I'm from Trinidad, originally by birth. So I spent a few years in Trinidad as a youth, but all my adult life I have been here. Now, I remember back in the early years, anything that was bought that had a label said made in America was primary. was what everybody wanted. You thought that you had the best product when it had that label made in America. That has gone away. Now, in small items, I'm beginning to see where certain items are beginning to be produced in America. But I think that was the downfall of why we are in the situation we are today. I think I can use the word greed, from wanting the profit of making it overseas cheaply, bringing it back here and selling it at a much higher cost. Example, the telephone. It's being made very cheap overseas in overseas countries, and they're selling them here at a very high cost. So the profit margin is great. And I don't know when it's going to turn around, but I think that's one of the major issues that America is having today. Now, I am aware that there's a lot more people are being employed today in America that had been in the past, which is a good thing. But I still think we need to bring back the manufacturing industry back to this country.
Tony, I'd like to respond to what Tony just said, gentlemen. Growing up in Michigan, going to school in Michigan, graduating in Michigan, I had the opportunity to work for General Motors. And that was the time working at General Motors where you couldn't drive a foreign vehicle even on the parking lot. All the automobiles, Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, all the automobiles were made in Michigan. It was the automobile capital of the world. And man, we had the second highest income per capita of people in the world. It was crazy. And then now I moved to South Florida, and I see foreign vehicles like I've never seen them before in my life. I very seldom see a Cadillac. I very seldom see a town car. It's crazy. And then people of color, African Americans, used to own the hair industry, Soft Sheen, Proline, et cetera. Now they got chemicals in these hair straighteners owned by Chinese and people that don't look like people of color, and they're selling them, and they don't own any hair products. They've taken over the hair product industry. It's crazy. And now we found out that the hair products cause cancer. Man, I tell you, this is a messed up situation.
Don and Tony? May I address the two of them?
Yes, please.
So based on what both of you said, and you just now, Don, is the fact that they're printing money like crazy over in China too to give us millions here and millions there and da 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 da. We print our own money and give it. Is it just a matter of they're producing money that then they use for the power of influence in a different way than we do, because they don't have untold wealth either. They've got to print the money that they use to get favor with our companies or any other companies and do the things that you two have mentioned. So is it just our priority and how we spend it is different, or in the methods? What do you two think?
Tony?
Well, I think it's profit and gain. I think that the money is just paper.
Right.
But I think by us taking away the manufacturing out of this country, we have lost the control that we had in America. Because now we are dependent primarily on a foreign country quote-unquote, support us. They are actually supporting us because everything that we want to purchase, we are actually purchasing it from overseas and not locally. So until that changes, I can't see us having that gain at all.
You're right, Tony. Where I grew up in Saginaw and Flint, Michigan, we had seven to eight plants or manufacturers opening and operating, hiring young people fresh out of college, and now cars are made overseas like you wouldn't believe. It's crazy. I mean, they were even in Mexico, they're making the car or the motor and sending it to the United States. We're not the producers of anything anymore. I can't tell you anything. You mentioned Made in America. That used to be a premium. It used to be a premium seal on everything. And now I can't tell you anything that's really made in America. We even got farmland that's being bought by China. They're buying up farmland in the United States. In 2008, when we did all the bankruptcies from all the foreclosures, these properties were bundled and sold. And guess who bought them? So I rest my case.
All right, gentlemen.
But what you're saying is a fact. That's what it is. That's where we are today.
All right. We're only like 10 minutes left of the show. So last time we got into the questions that a lot of females are sending in asking to ask the panelists. And I want to end up with some of those today so that those, because I got a couple of texts already from females asking, can you ask the panel this? So a question for the men, is jealousy healthy in a relationship? Tony, tell me, do you believe jealousy is healthy or not healthy in a relationship?
I don't think it is healthy at all, but it's part of human nature. It's something that we cannot eliminate. It happens, but it's not something that everyone goes through. Some people accept situations. Others do not. The ones that do not find themselves in a jealous mode, and that's not good. It's not good for the relationship, and it's not healthy for either party.
All right. What about you, Don? Do you think that jealousy is healthy in a relationship?
I agree with what Tony just said, David. It's not healthy for either party. It's even more so detrimental to the person that's jealous. It's like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die.
All right. Bruce, what do you
think? It, again, being the third of three, absolutely jealousy is not a positive thing in a relationship. It's a feeling that is overthought and conjured up into something that isn't good. Now, you can be concerned. You can be attentive. You can try and fix something that you think's wrong. Or if you really have a healthy relationship, you can ask a question if you think something isn't right or it bothers you. But jealousy just lets all of that fester into a disease or a boil or whatever graphic thing you want to use on your body, it's not good.
Wow. Okay, this question came out, and I thought it's an interesting question, but let's start out. It says, how much does it take to get a man in the mood for sex? All right. Don, what's your answer to that question?
Man, when a lady tells me, you know, you make me feel good. I never had a man like you. You know, I really like you. rub it right there. Oh, man, when I start hearing that, that'll get me in the mood real quick, David.
All right. Bruce, what is it? How much does it take to get a man in the mood for sex, in your opinion?
Yes. My sex drive has never diminished. And I guess I wear that with a badge of honor. I control it. You have to, especially when you're married. That's absolutely the ties that bind and so forth. But have I been interested in my entire life and still am? You betcha. With the right woman, not just as a – I've been a big – you guys have heard me say this – not as a recreational sport or a notch on a belt. It has to be with someone that you deeply care for. We'll leave it at that because it's an, one of the most intimate things you can do with a woman. So, but, yeah, it does, just tell – if it's the right woman – I'm ready. When, pretty much whenever.
All right. So, Tony, what is your answer to that question?
Well, as a black man, I think that mainly a lot of it has to do with the outward look of a woman. That alone in itself has a turn on for a man. That excites him just by her looks. Sometimes the man sees that before he sees anything else. He doesn't look at her, doesn't get into her mind, how she thinks, what her profession is, how she thinks about him. Just her outward appearance is what leads him physically in that direction.
Okay.
Can I follow up with something?
Sure.
David?
Yeah.
But
Bruce?
Don and Tony and Ron, if you're still there, I hope you are, but if you're not,
Ron.
If you were. Okay. Is my question to you two gentlemen, if the physical appearance or whatever really gets you going is there, does that person have to be one that you're really connected with, or it could be someone, wow, she's physically very attractive, or she's touched my hot buttons, but I don't really know her. I'll go to bed with her right now. Would you gentlemen do that, or has it got to be more than that?
Well, I'd like to respond first, Tony. I happen to be married and glad of it, but there was a time when I was single, and I learned early that we are three parts. We are spirits, we have a soul, and we live in a body. First, I look at the spirit of that person, and I check that spirit out because that spirit controls everything. And then the soul is the mind, the emotion, and the intellect. That's my second qualification. And then if those two match and they get excited, and I get excited about those two, boy, the flesh just falls right on in there.
The connection is made.
The connection is made, Bruce.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right,
I totally agree
you?
With you.
How about you, Tony?
Yeah,
I agree. But in today's world, with social media, anything you look at out there in today's world, it has to do with physical appearance first. That drives the mind of most people. Not everyone, but most people. And I think the media has taken that and run with it so that every time or anywhere that you look into any type of advertisement, it shows that's the direction. That's the appealing factor for the opposite sex.
Tony, you're right. But is that get, if I can be blunt, does that alone get you in bed with someone you don't really know?
And you could be looking at a beautiful lady, Tony. I mean a 42, 25, 40. man,
wow,
way, man. And then Tony, you find out she's a demon.
Yeah, but you find that out after the fact.
Yeah,
after
but you're
committed your mind.
Yeah, but Tony,
so,
you got the demon in you. If you indulge, you got the demon in you.
So Tony, you'd reverse the order: body, then maybe spirit and soul, but body first, buddy. If she's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yep. In today's world, yes. Yes.
No, Don and I aren't asking you about today's world. We're asking you about you. About
yeah,
you.
We're talking about
you, Tony. Oh, look, I'm going to share with you. I'm 74. So I'm a little bit over the hump, you can say.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Hey, Tony, do you still get hired?
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
We're turning this show way to the wrong level. We got
Hey, Tony, both Don and I are old guys. We're vintage people, just like you. So you can't use your age as an excuse.
Okay.
Wait,
that was the only weapon I had to fight.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Let me change the question a little bit. Another question that just popped up, some ladies that are listening, what do men want from women? Answer that question, Bruce. What do men want from?
I want tenderness. I want cuddle. I want contact. I want emotional and conversational stimulation, the whole thing. I know I'm asking for a lot, but remember I said, and as Don put, there's multiple levels of connection. Boy, if you get anywhere close to that, that woman can turn you crazy in a very good way. So that's about as blunt as I can be for your TV because for our radio, because you'll switch us off if we go any further than that.
Don, want to answer that question? Would do again once.
Yeah, David. First of all, I love everything Bruce just said, but I like respect. Give me some respect first, and then if you give me the respect, I'm going to be the spiritual leader, the protector, and the provider. I'm going to cover you, baby. I got you. You don't have to worry about a thing. If you just give me some respect, I'm going to treat you like a queen.
Nothing wrong with that.
Tony, what is your answer to that question? What do men want from women?
I detail that statement, respect, because you want respect from that person, and you want that person to respect you as a person, and that can go a very long way. I think that's very, very important. That's the first step in a very good relationship between two parties, either way.
And all right. And notice this, and I got to add one more thing real quick. And notice this, gentlemen, Tony and Don, the closer you get to that, the more heightened those feelings and those connections are, the more beautiful that woman becomes to you by looking at her.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know why? You know why? Because, see, God said it's not good for man to live alone.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
So the women out there listening, we're giving you a good view of what men think.
That's right.
This is
take
a
that
man
phone
voice.
Take that phone away from him and substitute it with you.
All right, are listening to the man's voice. It's a little different today, and lots of our panelists got off today because of something going on. So come back next week where all the panelists will be back, and we're glad to welcome Tony. We want to say thank you, and we're glad you're becoming one of us. All right, gentlemen.
As they use a word we shouldn't use, gentlemen, try harder to come back on the show tomorrow. or next Sunday.
All right. Have a great week, guys. Time to go.
God bless.
Hey, welcome, Tony.
Welcome, Tony. Yes. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Man, this thing is hard, man.
Yeah. Not difficult, hard, right?